I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Over the past few years, charitable efforts that focus on children's health have grown. Philanthropists are donating billions of dollars to the cause, providing medicines and vaccines to protect the world's poorest kids from infectious diseases like malaria and polio. But there are other threats to the health of children that don't receive as much attention. Reporter Jory Lewis brings us a story of one such threat. It caused widespread poisoning of children in West Africa in a poor town outside Dakar, Senegal.
A woman named Sane Bouberi lives in a house by the railroad tracks in a neighborhood called Inganjo. One day a couple of years ago, her toddler son Mamadou got sick.
It just happened suddenly. He started to throw up and we took him to the hospital.
When he got there, he started to have seizures, and then he died. She said the doctors didn't know why. But other children in the neighborhood, all infants and toddlers, they were dying too. 5 dead children became 10, and then became 15. They were dying almost every week. And so people started to wonder if something was going on in the neighborhood in Ganjo. Local doctors looked into it. Amadou Diouf is with the Senegalese health ministry.
They investigated and they ruled out malaria. They ruled out epilepsy.
They also ruled out cholera and meningitis. And finally they went to the site, to Inganjo, and they found the answer. It was lead. There was lead everywhere. Lead in slag piles, in people's homes, in the sand that blew through town. And it was in the children. Many had blood lead levels that indicated severe lead poisoning. The lead mostly came from one source, car batteries. For years, a group of local women had been pulling apart old batteries to sell the lead inside. Kine Jor started doing it 20 years ago when a man showed her how.
He showed the women who didn't have jobs how to do this work. He told us to go look around for some batteries, crack them open to get at the lead inside, and he said he would share the profit with us.
The women melted down the metal inside the batteries and recovered the lead. They poured the waste metal out into the sand. Jor says it was worth the effort.
I spent 25,000 francs on batteries and got back 50,000 francs for the lead.
Jor is an expansive middle-aged woman whose concrete home is crowded with heavy furniture and flowery drapes. She says the business allowed her to provide for her family and do it well. Jor has several children. She won't tell me how many because she says it's bad luck. But none of her children have ever had any problems, she says. None of them have died. An environmental group called the Blacksmith Institute cleans up toxic sites like this all over the world. Meredith Block is the director.
The tragedy of this community is really representative of a larger issue that we're seeing in almost every developing country as the price of lead has gone up, as we're seeing more cars on the road and more people in urban environments.
Block says this kind of simple car battery recycling is dangerous enough. But the people of Inganjo started doing something even more risky in 2007. That's when the market price of lead climbed so high that the waste lead they had dumped into the sand was now valuable. There was money in that dirt. So they dug it up and started to sift lead from the sand. People stockpiled sacks of lead in their courtyards and in holes under their homes.
During this time, we noticed that there was a rush on lead.
Mbai Diop works with a local environmental group.
Everyone was working on it. There were women, teenagers, and children. The women did the sifting, and it was the men who put it in bags.
The result, according to Senegalese health authorities, was a total of at least 18 dead children. And lots of sick ones who will never be the same. High blood lead levels can lead to severe neurological and developmental difficulties in children. Mbai Diop introduces me to a boy, a 3-year-old, who Diop told me had lots of problems. When the boy looked at me, his eyes roll back in his head and he moans. Mbai Diop tells me the boy has seizures and he can't talk. he doesn't know how. This boy and others have received treatment for lead poisoning, and many were, at least for some time, recuperating at a center outside of town. But eventually they had to come back home, back to Nganjo. And that means that they continue to be re-exposed, though at lower levels than before. Senegal's Ministry of the Environment is cleaning up Nganjo. Cleanup coordinator Assane Diop says they removed the most contaminated material from the neighborhood, but there's still a lot of work to do.
Now we need to decontaminate all the site.
I wander with him over to a large field that was one of the areas where the women used to work. The field is full of stagnating pools of water, plastic bottles and bags, and a few wandering sheep. I ask him about this particular site.
This site have not been cleaned so far.
But this site
we
has
plan
not,
to clean.
Not been cleaned at all?
No.
He says his team will tackle it in the next phase of the cleanup, which he hopes will begin in the next few months. They will also scrub down most of the homes in the area, going from house to house. Money, he says, has been the barrier. The Environment Ministry relied heavily on technical help from the environmental group, the Blacksmith Institute. Again, its director, Meredith Block.
It's very difficult to find funding for this kind of work. There is no international agency that the government of Senegal could run to and say, do you have $200,000 for us so that we can, you know, help this community? There's no fund for toxics like this.
For now, she says, the main focus is to stop contamination like this from happening again. Many of the women who recycled batteries in Nganjo have sworn off working with lead. They've started to sell fish or clothes or housewares. The Ministry of the Environment even hired some of them to clean contaminated homes. And the government has been trying to find some sort of factory or business for them. But it hasn't started yet. Kine Jor, the woman who had been gathering lead for 20 years, says she's not happy about giving up the business.
Right now, they stopped us from collecting the lead. It's the only thing we know how to do, and now they tell us to stop?
Well, she says, they'll stop. For now. But if they don't find anything else, they'll go back to it. For The World, I'm Jory Lewis, Dakar, Senegal.